that the sermon that I had prepared was not the sermon that the Lord wanted me to preach. So this could go one of two ways for y'all. It could be either really short, or I could ramble on, and it might be a little long. I will do my best to make sure that the words that I preach are the words that the Holy Spirit is laying on our hearts as a church. Today, we celebrate All Saints' Day. Now, All Saints' Day technically is November 1st. This is the Sunday afterwards. And so we are celebrating All Saints' Day today. What is All Saints? What does it mean to be a saint? We're all in a process, hopefully, of moving closer and closer to Christ. Our Methodist brothers and sisters would use the word sanctification. I love this phrase. We have a moment in time where we make a commitment to our Lord, where we say, I want to follow you, Christ. We begin this journey towards Him. Sanctification is the process of becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And folks, in our day and age, in our Christian culture, sometimes I think that we live with a defeatist mentality. We live with a mentality that we are always going to be sinners, we're always going to mess up, we're never going to get any better, and we put aside that idea of sanctification for something that might happen when Jesus comes back and we're in heaven. But folks, we are called to be like Jesus here and now. I've started to work out more because I had allowed my health to deteriorate. I've put on way too much weight in church planting. I'm going to write a book one day called Church Planting Makes You Fat. But I've become physically unhealthy, right? And I've been trying to go to the gym and work out, lift weights, but it's a process. If I could snap my fingers and become healthy and skinny and look like my oldest son, Sam, who likes to look at himself in the mirror and flex, and as he should, because I'm a little jealous of the six-pack that he's got. If I could snap my fingers and look like that, I would. But at the same time, part of enjoying your physical health is that process of getting there. And part of understanding who we are as saints is that journey, that process of growth. It doesn't happen instantaneously at the moment of our salvation. It doesn't happen instantaneously the moment that we go under the baptismal waters and we come up. No, we still have a propensity towards sin. And it takes maturing and growing to grow into our likeness in Christ. But it is something that we can do. I was reminded about how far I fall short of that as I lost my temper last night and acted like a fool. Husbands, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you all know that you've been there. Folks, we are on a journey. We're on a journey from the moment of our salvation, of growing and maturing in Jesus Christ. And on a day like today, where we celebrate All Saints' Day, we are celebrating those heroes in our faith who have made this journey. It's great to have heroes, isn't it? And we have sports heroes, we have superheroes, we have heroes in our everyday life. There's a reason we have heroes. because we look up to those people who have accomplished something that we would love to be able to accomplish. I would love to be Captain America. How incredible would it be to have superpowers and to fight evil like that, right? We need heroes in our faith. When we look at the saints of old, as you saw the children processing in, we had St. Augustine and many others. It's great to have our heroes in faith and to know who they are, to know their stories, to know their journeys of where they came from and where they ended up. Take the story of St. Francis. St. Francis was born into a wealthy family. He was a playboy who had lots of money and who loved fancy clothes. But when he finally was convicted by Christ, he stood before his father buck naked, having stripped himself of absolutely everything, and then renounced all of his wealth, renounced his ways, and embraced a life of poverty, embraced a life of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who would hear, especially the poor. One of my favorite stories about St. Francis is there was a wolf, or depending on the version of the story, sometimes two wolves, that were terrorizing a city. They had killed many of the livestock and even some of the townsfolk. St. Francis goes, and rather than hunting the wolf down, St. Francis preaches to the wolf, who sits submissively listening to the gospel even preached to the animals. And as the story goes, the wolf became docile and became like the town pet who would go from house to house being fed. What a simple and beautiful story. Whether it's true or whether it's simply a story of legend, it expresses who St. Francis became. From a rich, philandering playboy to a man that would humble himself to preach even to a wolf. This is our call. Our call is to move from our former life and to walk a path of holiness, progressing into our sanctity day in and day out. There's a very tragic story that came out this weekend. A mayor in Alabama, who was also a pastor of a church, committed suicide. The reason was because it was found out that he had a secret life of dressing as the opposite sex and posting pornographic pictures and content online. A website found out this and posted the news, and in his shame, he committed suicide. Now, this is a drastic story of a man who, on one hand, his public faith, his public life looked absolutely wonderful. I'm sure that 2 weeks ago, people would have said he was an absolute saint, pastor, mayor. But on the other hand, he was living a private life of indulging into the brokenness and the woundedness of his heart and of his life. Folks, your inner life may not look like his inner life. But the truth is we all have a long way to go. The distance, the journey, to go from what we believe to what is actually our heart transformed. We can't hold these things separate. We have to understand our own woundedness, our own brokenness, our own sinfulness, and our need to take the beliefs and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Word of God, Holy Scriptures, to take this and to make sure that our inner life is conformed to our beliefs. If we go on with an inner life that is different from what we profess, and we will never find the sanctification that we long for. We will never find peace. We will never find joy. And we ultimately will never experience the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives as He means for us to live. We will never know the joy of Jesus Christ as we are meant to know it. We have to take our inner life and make sure that it is in line with who He has called us to be. That, my friends, is what a saint is. A saint is someone who has allowed their beliefs to shape and form who they are. The word saint comes from sanctus, which just means holy. Something that is holy is something that is set apart. It is untainted. It is meant to be used only for what is righteous and what is good. You and I have been made holy not by our works. We have been made holy not because we did the right things or because we professed the right creeds. You and I have been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ poured over us at His crucifixion. And we have been given the life of the Spirit and life everlasting by His resurrection, by the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes out. Now, the holiness that has been given to us must come in line and conquer the sin nature that tends to still stay dwelling in our hearts, even after we received the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, the world is at work. The world, the flesh, and the enemy are at work to take the holiness that was given to us and to squash it so it never comes out in the way we live. Because that's how the enemy wants to stop the kingdom of God from growing. If he can keep Christians quiet, if the enemy can keep Christians from living into the holiness that they have been given, then the enemy will keep the kingdom of God from growing and growing. He will keep the lost from being found. He will keep the dead from receiving life. Folks, your holiness matters. Because in your holiness, as you live into what God has already given you as sons and daughters of the Most High, what you have is the ability to bring the life of Jesus Christ to a dying and broken world. Oh, how I wish someone could have ministered to that Alabama pastor and mayor and loved him and spoke into his wounds so that he could have taken his beliefs and matched it and conformed his life to what was claimed over him in Scripture. But we live in such a broken world. We live in a world that does not want to define people by holiness. We live in a world that wants to define people by their transgressions. What do I mean by that? Our culture looks at the norms of a Christian holiness, Christian morality, and it says that's passé. Christian ethics, Christian morality, Christian holiness is something that is of yesterday. It's something that actually not only is of yesterday, but it's something that oppresses you. So if you want to be freed from oppression, you have to transgress from the norms of the holiness that Christianity calls you to. So in our culture, the secular world around us, it actually lifts up the saints of the secular world as those who transgress from Christian holiness. This idea of transgression as virtuous is all around us. Folks, to conform to what Christ has called us to is an act of rebellion in the midst of a world that is transgressing against it. Folks, our world would look at this man that committed suicide, and they would say the issue was that he was oppressing who he actually was. They look at this man and they would say, if only people would have accepted him as he was in private, then everything would have been okay. You see, the Christian world lifts up the transgression and says the transgression is what is good, what is virtuous, what is right, what is holy. But that's not a Christian worldview. The Christian worldview, the worldview of Scripture, says that this is our broken sin nature. This can be healed. This can be brought into conformity through the power of the Holy Spirit to match the life of Jesus Christ. But here's another unfortunate thing that's happening in the midst of our culture. Too many churches don't preach the real gospel. Too many churches will say that following Jesus is actually about making sure that you live a good and happy upper middle class life here in America. So many churches are saying that living a good Christian life is simply about making sure that you have enough income, that if you follow Jesus, if you tithe, if you go to Sunday school, if you listen to 93.3, the Christian radio station, then everything is going to come right in your life. You're going to have a great house. You're going to drive a nice car. Your marriage is going to be perfect. Your children are going to be perfect. And that's the goal of Christian living. Folks, the goal of Christian living is to look like Jesus. And what did Jesus look like? This. Do you want to be a saint? Do you want to allow your life to come into conformity with Scripture? Then you have to be willing to be crucified. This is what the saints of old did. This is what the first church did. Peter, the one who denied Jesus, but was restored by the campfire on the shore of the lake as Jesus said, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." He restores Peter. Peter goes on and he preaches the gospel and he says, "I am not worthy to die like my Savior, so hang me upside down." Andrew is crucified on a cross shaped like an X. We see that the apostles and the disciples are crucified, strangled, quartered, speared to death, beheaded. And then the church goes on. One of the early martyrs, two martyrs, Perpetua and Felicity, a wealthy noble woman in Rome and her servant, young, both in their 20s, both with infant children, are arrested for their faith and they're placed in the gladiator ring. They refuse to renounce their faith, even to the point where Perpetua is said to have guided the gladiator's sword into her throat herself. As I already mentioned, St. Francis, who renounces everything. The stories of the saints go on and on and on. We love the stories of the old saints, but there are saints of today. One of the greatest saints, I think, of the mid-20th century was Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, and those others that went into Ecuador to preach the gospel to the lost tribes. They were speared to death as their plane landed. Not to be deterred, Nate Saint's sister and Jim Elliot's wife go back to the same tribe just a few years later, Elizabeth with her 3-year-old daughter. They make contact and they bring these Ecuadorian tribesmen and women into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are saints. Folks, this is what we are called to. We are not called to just live a comfortable life. We are called to sacrifice everything for Him, to allow our inner life to be conformed to Jesus Christ. We can't do this on our own. You can't go home and say, I'm going to be more saint-like, because that's going to last about half a day, and then you're going to lose your temper. You're going to act ugly. You're going to do something that is contrary to what you want to do, which is be saint-like. We've all been there. We've all tried that. There is only one way into sainthood. And by the way, sainthood is all believers. Yes, we honor certain quote-unquote saints, right? We give them this title, Saint Michael, Saint Peter, Saint Paul. That's a category that we give to honor certain people. But Scripture is clear that all believers are saints. We are called to look to our heroes and to allow our lives to conform to theirs as their life conformed to Christ. This is what Paul says. Paul says, imitate me as I have imitated Christ. The only way to do that, the only way to imitate Christ, is to surrender. Surrender. Allow the Holy Spirit to work and to move in your life. Ask Him to come in. And folks, this is not a one-time thing. This isn't something that you do once at the altar and then everything is great. No, we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit every moment of our lives. We wake up in the mornings, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, Lord Jesus Christ, come. Heavenly Father, I receive the love that you have for me today. This is where the disciplines of a Christian life come in. We have this wonderful book as Anglicans called the Book of Common Prayer that has morning office, which is your morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, prayers before bedtime. We have Holy Scripture that tells us how we are to live. You see, when we engage in prayer and we engage in reading of Scripture, these are disciplines that the Holy Spirit uses to bring us into conformity. And folks, I want to say this before I end. We will strive for sanctification. We'll strive for holiness, and we will mess up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You see, this is exactly what the enemy wants to do. You might go for a week or 2 weeks and feel like everything is going well. And then something happens, something within your sin nature rears its ugly head, and you behave in a way that you wish you could take back. And the enemy wants to seize that moment and say, see, You're the same guy that you were yesterday or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. You haven't really changed, but the enemy is what a liar. You have been transformed. You've been covered in the blood of Jesus. And you rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you confess again. And you pick yourself up and you dust yourself off and you confess to those you may have hurt and then you move on. Sanctity, sainthood, sanctification is a journey of 2 steps forward, 1 step back. 10 steps forward, maybe 15 steps back. But eventually, as you pursue Jesus every day, Jesus is faithful. And he will make sure that you are conformed to his image, to his likeness, as he has called you to be. I am just a Georgia boy, so I'm going to butcher this name. But the French novelist from the 19th century, Léon Blum, said, "The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint." Folks, we're on a journey. We're on a journey together. Saints are meant to live in communion with one another. We can't do this alone. So let's walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ, singing with joy to Jesus Christ and pursuing him that we may bear his image and in turn take that image to this world that so desperately needs him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to turn to the Nicene Creed. As we say these words that were written so long ago, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, and through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary was a man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, death, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite you to kneel as you are able.
Let us pray for the church and for the world, saying, "Hear our prayer." For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being and unity of the people of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For Archbishop Foley Beach, Bishop Frank Lyons, Father Michael, Father Don, Father Allen, Father Joey, Father Cass, Deacon Jeff, and for all the clergy and people of our diocese and congregation. Lord, in your mercy, today we pray for Bishop Emmanuel and the people and clergy of the Diocese of Kibungo in the Anglican Church of Rwanda. We pray for Bishop Dutta and the people of the Anglican Church of West Bengal, India. We pray also for our Mother Church, All Saints Anglican in Peachtree City, and for All Saints Anglican in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas, asking you, Lord, to bless and strengthen their ministry and fellowship, to be good witnesses for Jesus Christ, for all those who proclaim the gospel at home and abroad, and for all who teach and disciple others. Lord, in your mercy, for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted for their faith, we especially remember the Anglican Church of the Congo, the Anglican Church of Nigeria, and churches in India, Myanmar, and Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, for our nation, for those in authority, and for all in public service, especially the President of the United States and the Governor of the state of Georgia. Lord, in your mercy, for all those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially those suffering from short-term illness, those suffering from long-term illness, those with special needs, and those deployed. Lord, in your mercy, for all those who have departed this life in the certain hope of the resurrection, in thanksgiving, let us pray. Lord, in your mercy,
I invite you to lift up your own prayers silently or aloud.
Father, we'd be amiss if we didn't cry for Ukraine and Israel. We ask that the aggression to cease and that your Holy Spirit would kill us.
Lord, we pray for this country on Tuesday as voting takes place everywhere, especially in Ohio. May thy will be done.
Lord, we pray for all of our visitors today. May the love of Jesus surround them as they worship with us today.
Lord, be with all the people of the Middle East affected by times of warfare, those who did nothing to be deserving of this conflict.
Yes, Lord, bring Jesus.
Peace, bring them relief. May your will be done. May we trust your will tremendously.
Heavenly Father, grant these our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, the Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I invite you to stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share with each other a sign of God's peace. Peace, my friend. Peace. Peace. Boys, can y'all make sure y'all move these two things just back? Thank you. Peace, Jim.
Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, if I can ask everyone to have a seat briefly, we have a few announcements and then we'll move to Holy Communion. Let's see. That's what I got. All right. Yes. Oh, yeah, come on up. All right, so right now the kids are bringing forward bags that we have made to give to those in need. Whenever someone might approach our church or approach an individual, one of us will have these bags to be able to give to them. So the kids have helped put these together.
For those who are alone, homeless, and sad. Please ask God to bless them so that we might comfort them and spread the love of Jesus throughout this world.
All right, let's say a blessing over these bags. We're not asking that these bags become magical talisman that we can use, but we ask that these bags stand to represent those that they are going to. So I invite all of you, just if you feel comfortable, extend your hand like this. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless these bags, that they might show your love, that those that receive them would understand that they come not from St. Barnabas, but they come from the flowing blood of the side of Jesus Christ, and that they would know your love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. Saints, I appreciate it. Good job. All right, let's take the bags and we can put them back. Okay, follow Miss Margaret. All right. Last week, Father Cass, in his sermon, talked about the prayer that he had written. Dana Rethmel told me that we have now, did you make these? Where? All right. So Dana made all of these. They're like a little bookmark with a prayer. Let me read it. It's a prayer to serve. Dear Heavenly Father, there are many who must be stronger. Yet the voice said, I called you. There are many who must see more clearly. Yet the voice said, I called you. There are many who must be more holy. Yet the voice said, I called you. There are many who must sing or speak or serve more sweetly. Yet the voice said, I called you. So I stand anxiously in the love and the humbly in the truth that the voice said, I called you. Amen. So everyone is welcome to take one of these. They are in the front as you leave on our little rounded counter. So please make sure that you grab those. We are asking that everyone turn in their pledge cards today. So hopefully everyone got one of these in the mail. Everyone that is on our list has at least has received this. If you didn't receive one and need an extra copy, we might have one or two left, including this one. This helps us make our budget for the year. We have our projected budget, what we would like to do, but that has to come into conformity with reality. And so if the pledges don't match what we think we can do, then we have to scale back our budget and go to the Lord in prayer. So this really helps us understand what 2024 is going to look like. So if you haven't turned these in yet, please make sure that we get these today. You can drop them in the offering basket. And I've said this before, I don't know who gives or who pledges what. I know numbers as the pastor. That's all I want to know. So I am not looking through this and I'm not going, so-and-so's not giving, right? This is known to our treasurer, our finance committee, and them alone. It is not known by me or other staff members or the rest of the church. So this is really is just a covenant you are making between you and the Lord about what you want to do to give to support the work that we do here at St. Barnabas. I want to remind everyone that communion is open to all baptized Christians. So if you have been baptized and you are a follower of Christ, you are welcome to come and receive communion. You come forward, kneel at the table, put one hand on top of the other, and one of the clergy, myself or Deacon Jeff, will give you the bread, and then one of our lay Eucharistic ministers will come with the cup. You can either sip from the cup or you can dip the wafer into the cup and receive the wine in that manner. If you are not baptized, we still would love for you to come up and kneel at the altar. You simply cross your arms over your chest, and we'll say a blessing over you and ask for the Lord to bless you this week. And if you need prayers for anything, our prayer ministers are available after you receive communion. They'll be back in the chapel. And when I say prayers for anything, I literally mean anything. You don't have to go back there only because you've got cancer, right? You can go back there because you've had a bad morning. You can go back there because you stubbed your toe. You can go back there for any reason whatsoever. Come to the Lord in prayer and let others pray for you. So if you have any prayer requests, go see our prayer ministers after you've received communion. All right, I think that is everything. And let's come before the courts of the Lord, bringing him all the honor due his name. Thank you. Ours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. All things come from you, O Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way to everlasting life. And therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. I invite you to kneel as you are able. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had sinned against you and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for our salvation. By the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, he became flesh and dwelt among us. In obedience to your will, he stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself once for all, that by his suffering and death, we might be saved. By his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. As our great high priest, he ascended to your right hand in glory, that we might come with confidence before the throne of grace. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Whenever you do this with a remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your word and your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and the blood of our Lord, of your Son, Jesus Christ. And sanctify us also, that we may worthily receive this holy sacrament and be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us with all your saints into the joy of your heavenly kingdom, where we shall see our Lord face to face. And all this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose character is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through the most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
I invite you to kneel as you are able. Together we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand before I give the blessing. This is a little different, but in light of talking about sanctification, of being holy, and our need on this journey for the Holy Spirit, if you would like to receive more of the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to do anything special other than simply pray with me. You may want to open your hands up like this just as a sign to God that you are ready to receive. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we all need more of you. And in this journey of becoming more and more like you, becoming sanctified, we need the Holy Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would pour out upon me and upon my brothers and sisters your Holy Spirit as you poured out on the day of Pentecost. I pray, Lord, that you would move now, that you would come and that you would fill this church and these people with your Spirit, that we may be conformed to your image, that you would give us the strength to walk in your ways. Come, Holy Spirit, come now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. And now we sing one final time together.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.